you. My name is Miana from the University of Florida. I would like to talk about the distribution and relationship of bioavailable soil organic carbon among land use types. I'd like to introduce my co-workers, Drs. Comerford, Zimmerman, Sipman, and Grunwald from University of Florida and University of California, Riverside. I have to start with the story that everybody knows. This is a global carbon cycle. 80% of terrestrial carbon is found in soil organic matter. So it is considered as a potential carbon sink for the emission of CO2. And the CO2, soil organic carbon, soil also releases CO2 through the soil respiration. The amount of CO2 emission is 10 times more than the emission from the burning fossil fuels. So it is important to identify the factors which control in the soil respiration. The soil microorganism, known to be the major thing to go through the soil respiration, and this also limited by the availability of carbon substrate. And there are two different availabilities. First, chemical availability, which is determined by chemical composition of organic matter. And the physical availability is determined by physical location of organic matter. And in this study, I would like to focus on chemical availability, which is referred as the labability. To quantify the chemical availability of soil, there is a method developed, which are the extraction method. First is hot water extractable carbon, which is about the 7% of TOC. And next is hydrolyzable carbon, which is up to 70% TOC. And these two are known to be potentially mineralizable carbon. Until now, there are few studies combined SOC quality and microbial incubation analysis, but the studies were limited to the one or few land use types or a relatively small sample size. So our study was to determine the effects of land use on the microbial mineralization of soil carbon and to understand the relationship between organic carbon pools using 138 soils with the 8 different land use types. This is our study site. We chose north central Florida. The reason we chose this study is also I'm from the University of Florida, and also the Florida has great potential for the carbon sequestration. In fact, 35 kilograms per square meter carbon was found, and which is the greatest amount in other U.S. states. So this sample was collected from non-forest soil site, improved pasture, rangeland, urban, and crop, and forest soil from upland forest, regenerated forest, and pine plantation, and finally, the wetland. So the method was the total organic carbon and hot water extractable carbon and hydrolyzable carbon was were extracted from 138 soil samples. And the soil incubation was performed during 0 to 87 days. And CO2 production was analyzed by modified CO2 kilometer, which is easier than GC spectrometer. So this is our result. The great amount of hydrolyzable carbon was extracted from wetland soil samples. However, if you see the proportion of hydrolyzed carbon to TOC, the wetland has lowest proportion. And if we look at the forest and non-forest soil, differences, there is no significant difference in the hydrolyzable carbon proportion to the TOC. And next is the hot water extractable carbon. Also, the total amount of hot water extractable carbon from wetland was greatest amount. However, the proportion of that to TOC was lowest. And also, there was no significant difference between forest and non-forest soil samples for hot water extractable carbon content. The total amount of mineralized carbon over 87 days was presented here, and wetland showed a greatest amount of mineralized carbon compared to other soil types. But if you look at the proportion to TOC, is the lowest. So the quality of carbon in wetland is very low compared to others. And the forest and non-forest soil didn't have any significant difference in total mineralized carbon. So I would like to move on to the carbon mineralization rate. In this study, I'm presenting two different carbon mineralization rates. The first one is soil weight normalized carbon mineralization rate, and the other is carbon amount normalized carbon mineralization rate. As you can see here, the bigger circle means the more greater carbon mineralization rate. And the southeast part has greater mineralization rate than others when we're thinking about the soil amount normalized mineralization rate. And it seems like related to the soil type and the drainage degree. The wetland certainly has a greater carbon mineralization rate than other soil types, but forest and non-forest did not have a significant difference between two big groups. And I'd like to show the relationship between carbon mineralization rate and the other carbon fractions. The one thing I'd like to tell you before go through the individual thing, the carbon mineralization rate was directly related to TOC and HWC and HC, which is hot water extractable carbon and hydrolyzable carbon. But TOC and HWC has better correlation than HWC, which means TOC and HWC is a strong indicator of carbon mineralization rate at the multi-use landscape scale. But hydrolyzable carbon was not a good indicator for carbon mineralization rate prediction, which is different result from other scientists. And if we look at the carbon mineralization rate, normalized carbon amount, it did not show the better relationship with TOC, HWC, or HC. And also, because when you increase the TOC, you have a less mineralization rate. And the different story is only TOC has a strong correlation with the carbon mineralization rate. And of course, hydrolyzable carbon did not show any correlation with the mineralization rate either. If we look at the individual lens use type, the trend is the same as when you are dealing with the whole land use types. The forest soil is here presenting, and the forest regeneration and upland forest has a good relationship between carbon mineralization rate and the hot water extractable carbon. And the trend is the same as with the TOC. And if we compare the correlation to the wetland, this pine plantation, forest regeneration, upland forest has a less correlation than the wetland. And even among the forest soil types, pine plantations did not have a good relationship with the HWC compared to forest regeneration and upland forest. Non-forest soil types has less correlation with the HWC compared to forest soil types. The rangeland and improved pasture has lower correlation than crab and urban. These HWC, this trend is almost same as the TOC. As you can see, the R square value, the crop and urban has a bigger and greater than improved pasture and the rangeland. So finally, we developed a carbon mineralization prediction model using our TOC and HWC and ATC data set. And we used a stepwise regression. And HWC and HC were not selected for this model because they were not significant. And observed value and predicted value, the R square value is pretty good. And the model was tested with validation test, and the results showed that the TOC is a strong indicator for the carbon mineralization rate. So the conclusion is, we see the spatial heterogeneity in soil respiration and the labile carbon fraction, but there's no significant difference in soil respiration rate among land use type individually, except the wetland. And there's no relationship between carbon normalized respiration rate and carbon pool and the land use. And there is strong relationship between hard water extractable carbon and total organic carbon versus microbial respiration. But hydrolyzable carbon did not have any correlation with the microbial respiration. And for the study system, TOC is a robust predictor of carbon mineralization rate across the land use spectrum, which is good because TOC is easier to extract from the soil samples compared to the hard water extractable carbon and hydrologic carbon. This study was supported by NSRS, and then there are many students help to collect the sample and analyze them. Thank you.